Pubcast.
That's why poor people stay poor, because they think about, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. And it continues to loop in their lives the same old thing day after day, year after year, because they're not changing the way that they think. And the people who get out of that, they're the ones who change the way that they think. If they lose a job, like, okay, I lost it, no big deal, I'm going to figure it out.
Welcome to the Liberated Healer Podcast, where we touch on a variety of topics in the world of spirituality, energetic healing, and everything in between and beyond. Take an adventure on a shooting star with your host, Gina, and offering their wisdom, guidance, and everlasting love and support.
Hi, everybody. This is Gina Cavalier. I am the host, the lucky host of the Liberated Healer Podcast. Loving what I do every day, bringing new, interesting, wonderful people that are just doing the work, walking the walk. And today I have another great guest, Chloe Panta on. Welcome, and thank you for coming on the show.
Of course. Thank you for having me, Gina. Thank you.
Another amazing author with a book that I think it's out already or is coming out.
Yeah, it is currently out. I actually just got a notification on Amazon that it's out. So it's Untapped Magic Manifestation Methods for Your Limitless Life. And I'm super excited about it. So yeah, it's out now.
Oh man. I myself just finished a book that's coming out in June. So, you know, always a great kudos. I understand the whole plight of getting it out and what an amazing feat it is. And, you know, just to even have that, it feels like, right? Just so changes your life.
It does. I mean, it still feels surreal to me that this actually happened, because I have to tell you the story. When I've always wanted to write books and be an author, but it was always in my mind, right? Like, okay, this is something I want to do, but how do I get it into the world, into the physical world? And for it to be just simply an inception, an idea in my mind, and to actually be in the physical world, that itself feels surreal that I've done this. It's always been a dream of mine to be a traditionally published author, because that means that for me, like, wow, I went through the traditional route. I had to get an agent. The agent had to find, you know, a publisher for me. And that has always been a lifelong goal. And that's happened for me. So it definitely feels like, wow, like I have this thing that I created in my mind, and now it's out here in the physical world for other people to just to kind of, you know, read and use it as a guide to help them in their life and their manifestation process and to live their own dreams. So it does feel surreal. I feel grateful that I was able to channel these thoughts and also to make a book for others to have access to. So
it's Untapped Magic Manifestation Methods for Living a Limitless Life. And I love all the colors in it. And so I, you know, you're from Detroit, Michigan. And I grew up in Scottsdale, Arizona. I grew up in kind of, you know, very traditional kind of cowgirl lifestyle in America. Mm-hmm. And I love that about people, that we have come from different places, but when you're young, you kind of only know the world around you for a while. And then you wake up and go, oh, there is, you know, all this whole other interesting planet that's so interesting. So I love hearing particular stories, especially where people grew up and how it influenced them into some these type of methods. Was it surrounded by you? Were other people supporting it? Did you have to find it on your own? So I just like to set it up a little bit like that.
Yeah. No, you know, when I was a teenager coming up, I was so engulfed with like the rappers and the celebrities and the singers I saw on TV. And I wanted to be like them. I wanted to live a life where I didn't have a care in the world and I had everything at my disposal. I just wanted to be that at that age, at 16, 17 years old. And I remember going to church with my family. We went to church pretty much every other Sunday. We were there. And every time I was in church, I felt that everybody had on this amazing, happy face. They were so nice and cordial. But then as the week went on, they would complain or they would have issues. They would be unhappy. And I wondered, Well, why is that? Why is it where so many people are just so unhappy, though they believe in something that promises them something, but they just don't seem to achieve that? Or if someone had something, it was a bad thing. And I'm like, well, why is that? Why is it when someone has something, it's a bad thing that this person has, you know, what they consider success? And I didn't understand at the time, but I had to go and I questioned. I went to different churches from different religions, Catholic churches. I went to Christian churches. I went to different organizations to ask the question, how can I define happiness? If happiness is something that is easily available to all of us, why is it that so many people are unhappy? And no one gave me an answer that I felt was concrete, because we don't have the answer to that, right? We all have to create our own happiness. It's within us. We have the power to do that. We can't give that away to someone else and someone has that control, right? But a lot of us tend to do that too. So on that journey, I decided I was going to find happiness for me, because at that age, I wasn't happy. And in my early 20s, I went through a situation where I was in an abusive relationship, and that took away my happiness. And I was in a spiral, and I was just kind of on a path where I knew I needed to find myself to become the person I think I was always meant to be. And that kind of propelled me to really want to change my life. I felt that if I knew what pain felt like, and shame and unworthiness and undeservingness, I only wanted to live the opposite of that. And my whole life in my 20s became a quest for finding those feelings and those emotions. And that's really how I just started to begin my journey into manifestation and spirituality, because I had no idea that this even existed. It seemed like this is too simple. Think happy thoughts and your life will turn around, or just be grateful for where you are and just kind of make sure that you're feeling the best you can, even if you aren't in a situation where you are feeling great, because we all have days where we're not feeling great. But even that tiny bit of gratitude, that tiny bit of that you can wake up and be grateful for being alive and being happy and being grateful for what's happening right now, that propels you to get closer to what you want in this world. And if I would have known that years and years ago, I think that probably I would have gotten to where I am now sooner. But I'm happy that I went through that, because I understand why people are sad, or there are so many people who are anxious or depressed or just in situations they feel that they cannot get out of. I've been there and I know that. And I think I had to experience that to know that the opposite reaction to that is what is possible for us when we just use the power of our minds to transform how we think in this world and our actions. So that's kind of what prepared me for this.
I love your message. It's something I talk to a lot of people about, because especially the celebrity aspect, which is great because that person is something they loved and they propelled themselves in a way. I mean, on the outside looking in, right? And I'm no judgment towards it, but a lot of people put value on it without understanding that they had to work 24/7 to get there. It's just not something that's like all of a sudden, just this like, you're boom, you're there. There's like the journey and unpacking it and following your life path. So there she goes. I love it. Okay. Come back. Edit
852. Okay. Do you mind if I put this camera back? Only because this camera looks really blurry.
Sounds really good. Thank you so much, Chloe. In your book, you talk about a video called The Strangest Secret and how it changed you. I really love the messaging in here too, because this is something I speak a lot about, that we in America, we are so extremely fortunate. And again, it goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, where you kind of don't know like how lucky you are. And, until you really start to see different areas in the world and different other people's storylines, that you realize in America, we got given a little bit of a opportunity gift actually. And I wanted to hear kind of your thoughts on this video and kind of what it means for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So this video, a friend of mine, when I used to work at a mortgage company, And I worked as a loan officer at this time. And a friend of mine, we were both complaining about how we didn't like our jobs and we just wanted to do something completely different. And he told me, you need to watch this video. It's on YouTube. And it's a black and white video. It's like 36 minutes long. And it's by Earl Nightingale. It's called The Strangest Secret in the World. And I'm like, okay, this is my ticket out of here. Like, I'm going to just like dwell into this video. I'm just going to watch this thing and my life's going to be completely different tomorrow, right? So I watched the video and I listened to everything that he was saying. And at this point, again, this is my early 20s. This was the same time when I'm going to churches. I'm figuring out, you know, who I am. What do I believe in? What holds true for me? What do I need to shed and let go? And I was having conflicting thoughts where it's like, well, I grew up as a Christian. I grew up in this household where this is who I am. And we go to church every other Sunday and our entire family is there and this is what we do. So if I'm saying that I want to have a different thought pattern or a different belief system, does that mean I'm no longer a Christian? What does that mean to me? I can't do that. And it was very scary to think about another aspect of either religion or belief system, because it's basically your whole life. You're questioning the way that you were brought up and the way that things were done. So as I said, I was going to different organizations to question them and say, hey, well, if this is supposed to be like this, why do I feel like this? And there were no answers to those questions. So listening to Earl Nightingale, it basically opened up my eyes that there is more in this world than what I know. And I don't know everything in this world about how I can live my life. And he simplified it in a sense where our minds are responsible. We are responsible for the lives that we live. And if we simply change our minds, we can change our lives. And there was one thing that he said, and it still sticks to me today. He said that, again, we are so fortunate to live in the U.S. because we have so much opportunity here than any other country in the entire world. And he said, people don't think, they don't use their minds. And what he meant by that was someone who wants something, like you go to your stove and you say, you know, give me heat, but you don't turn the stove on, right? The stove is off, but it's just there. You say, give me heat, stove. And he said, people like the stove analogy, they will, at this time, there was wood. There was no turn it on. It's just, you know, put the wood into the stove and it'll light a flame. And he's like, you can't do that. It's not how this works. You can't tell the stove, give me heat, and there's no wood. You have to put in the work. You have to take the aligned, actionable steps to get to where you want to go. You can't just say things and then expect things to happen. You actually have to take action to make them happen. Just like people who want to win the lottery. You can't wish and hope and dream about it. You actually have to put in the work and say, well, why do I want to win the lottery? What is the essence of winning that kind of money? What is that going to do for me? What about that money will make my life different? And that's why so many people who win the lottery, they're broke within a couple of years because they have no idea what to do with it. It isn't just the money. Money is just simply energy. It's a tool. But what is the essence of having that? Is it security? Is it safety? Is it feeling protected? What are you going to do with that? Do you have to hire an accountant to manage that? You're going to put it in an investment fund. How will you grow the money and continue to have that security? And when he said that, and like, you know what? That's right. I can't just say or say, okay, I'm having a great day and I'm really not. I have to uncover why I'm not having a great day. What is the root cause of me not having a great day or the root cause of me wanting to have a better career, but I don't have that? What can I do to propel myself to be a better consultant or to get a certification to make more money or a better promotion with another company? What do I need to do to get where I want to go? And that's when my mind, it switched. And I realized that I need to change. If I want to see something different, I can't keep doing the same thing every single day, day after day. I have to make a change in my life to propel that to happen. And that's when I began to realize that the people I was hanging around, they weren't changing, right? They were doing the same things every single day, complaining over and over again. I realized I don't want to be like this. Yeah. I don't do this. I need to be better than this. And that really catapulted me to go even deeper in spirituality manifestation and realize that I need to become a better me. And that's what that meant to me. It literally changed my life. So literally, I didn't watch it. And literally, I was on a quest to become the best me that I could become.
And I you're using my language in so many different ways, but I love how you say money is just energy. Mm-hmm. When you give it this power over you, that, you know, and you, or fear of it, or there's just this, you know, all this different energy in a negative way almost. Mm-hmm. And then you just accept it, like it is just an energy and it is a part of our system. So I really appreciate that too. You're just, I just really love your upbeat attitude, and it makes so much sense. And it, yeah, I think it's just such great messaging, especially for younger folks that they need to hear that kind of thing. And, you know, the other people, you know, again, not to put it down, but a lot of people tend to also go way towards a negative where maybe they start to drink or do outside other influences to try to get themselves out of a situation. And you can really do it from these mindfulness exercises. And
Yeah, you can. I mean, some of us, we feel that there's no hope because we have gone through either a traumatic experience and that has shaped our lives, and we feel that we're in a downward spiral with no way out. And when we do things to self-soothe, it's basically just putting a Band-Aid on the problem. But it isn't, again, getting to the root cause to understand, well, why is this problem here? What's going on where, you know, you're feeling in a way that is out of control? Because if you have no self-control over what you're doing, you're out of control. And in order to have control over the situation, we have to analyze, well, what's happening with us? What has caused us to drink alcohol or do it in an excessive amount or whatever the case may be, not get out of bed or procrastinate or not go to the gym or not have a regular routine where things just feel very, very difficult. Instead of making excuses, again, we have to uncover and unblock what's keeping us stuck. And then we have to get on a clear path to take aligned, actionable steps to overcome that. And then to achieve greatness once we do that, because when we take aligned, actionable steps, we're taking steps one at a time to get us closer to who we want to become. So I say that there are so many layers that we've built up around us throughout the years from experiences, whether that's pain or shame, trauma, guilt. When we feel undeserving of something or unworthy of someone, we build a wall up around us and we become this person who isn't aligned with who we are on an authentic level. So I always say to get back to who we are authentically, we have to peel back all those layers of pain and shame and programming to get to who we were meant to be in this world. And that is living an unapologetic life, but as our authentic self, who we really are meant to be, without having the fear of what someone else will think about us or say about us. Because when we're so in love with ourselves, when we know who we are, no one has that kind of power over us because we know who we are. So regardless of what anyone says or thinks about us, it has no effect over us because we have all the power. When we give our power away, we become victims, we experience trauma, pain, and shame, and we are no longer our authentic selves. So in order to take our power back, we have to recognize that there's an issue needs to be unblocked. We have to work through that, take the aligned, actionable steps, and then become who we were meant to be, which is our whole unscathed, authentic self in this world.
I swear you're saying everything that I believe every word that you're saying. I wish that I had found it kind of at your age, which it seems a little bit younger, but absolutely, you know, self-love changed my life. And I didn't even know that you know, you hear the word self-love and you're like, yeah, I love myself. Right. But do you, but really, really do you look at it? Do you really go in and give yourself as much love as you do that person that you say you love or that animal that you say you love? And a lot of people, the answer is absolutely no.
Yeah.
And you really have to look so deep inside. And once you start doing that, you're right. Once you love yourself, there's this confidence that comes in. Or, you know, I always say obstacles are coming. They're just coming. Life conflict is coming. You're going to get an argument with someone again, sometime soon, maybe. How are you going to handle that? And when you have self-love and you're doing the practices you're talking about, it's just so much easier. And you can live, you can step to the life that you're like, want to manifest. Yeah. So let's get into manifest, because manifest is a really thing that people are interested in, excited about. So in the book, you talk about intention, essence, and manifestation, how it works together. Let's share some of that wisdom with folks.
Yeah, of course. So manifestation, that's pretty much us bringing our thoughts, what we want in our world, into the real physical world. And when I first started, I was like, wow, this really happened. Like, how did I do that? What was it, right? It's like, oh, I thought about it and it's here. It can't be that easy, right? But actually, when we manifest stuff, let's say we're trying to manifest a new house. What I mean by intention is, okay, you want a new house, but why? What is the intention of that home? Is that intention because you want to have, let's say, a bigger house that has maybe 4 bedrooms because you only have 2 right now? What is the intention of having the home? And then with essence, the essence is, what does that provide for you? Is it safety for your kids? Is it to have your kids around more successful kids, and that way they can be influenced by a successful family? Is it to feel secure? Is it because you want to have, maybe you want to live on a cul-de-sac and have some type of park or greenery in the backyard? What are the essences that they provide for you? Is it peace of mind? Is it joy? Is it prosperity? Is it abundance? What is it? When you define your essence and you have an intention of wanting something, that becomes a manifestation. Again, you have to take aligned, actionable steps to get there. You can't just hope and wish about it and then poof, it's here. It doesn't work like that. You have to actually put in the work. So for a new house, that requires down payment. That requires you to obviously go through the hoops and loops of getting a mortgage for your new home. It requires you to put in the work, which is the aligned, actionable steps to get that house, but also to go find a house. Are you going to go out to a new construction site? Are you going to go through a realtor? How are you going to get this home? And then once you define what you want the home to have, your non-negotiables, which are the essences of the home, has to be in a park, or has to have a park in the background somewhere nearby on a cul-de-sac, 4 bedrooms. And it has to be in a neighborhood where you consider, this is where I want my kids to grow up, in a really successful, affluent neighborhood, or wherever the place is. Those are the essences of what this home will provide for you. Once you have that down, you will get the manifestation that you actually want. It'll come to you. Now, sometimes we get manifestations that are not what we actually asked for. They could be something similar. Maybe instead of buying a home, you rent a home because you're not ready to buy it yet, but that rental has everything that you want. Or maybe it has 3 bedrooms and it has a loft, and the loft can be an area that maybe you can do your writing or your work or whatever. It's something that's an option for you to consider. So if it has all of your essences, that manifestation is what you're asking for. But if it doesn't have any of your essences that are non-negotiable, that's not what you're calling in. And a lot of people, they settle for less. This can be in relationships, especially. We date someone, they may look nice on paper, but in reality, they don't have all the qualities. If someone is missing your core essences, which is your non-negotiables, they're not your manifestation. They're simply a test. They're what I call a test. The universe saying, do you really want this? Is this really what you want? And if it is, I'm gonna give it to you. But if you want more, just wait a while and I'm gonna give you even better than what you're asking for. And that's how it works. I manifested my husband, you know, like I literally manifested him, and he has every single quality that was on my list because I knew what I'm deserving and worthy of. And I knew that it was coming for me because I asked for it and it happened. So when we get clear on our intentions, plus the essences of what we want, we'll then call in the manifestation. But again, you have to feel it. If you don't feel what it would feel like to either live in that home, you're in the kitchen making a cup of coffee, you're sitting down in your, you know, comfortable couch or whatever, you're watching a movie or whatever, having popcorn. If you can't feel what it feels like, it's not going to be real to you. Same with a partner. Imagine your partner, he's perfect for you. And you guys are going to the movies. He's laughing. He's maybe touching your hair. He caresses your chin. You have to feel what it would feel like to be with someone like that, who's loving of you, who loves you exactly as you are, no matter what you're, what you are right now. They love you for everything you are today. Imagine having that person in your life. And when you feel that, it becomes so real that the universe will then work to bring that person into your reality, to bring them into your spectrum, because you are now on an energy level that you are attracting what you want to have into your life. And that's what that means, is when you put in the intention, the essence, you put the feeling with that, your manifestation will come. Obviously, the work needs to be done. When it comes to love, you don't have to do any work really besides feeling and having the essences lined up, but it will come. And that's what I mean by that in the book. When we talk about manifesting their big goals or small things, we have to put in the work to get to what we want to manifest in this world.
And the reason why we have to have these kind of books is because a lot of people, like you said, might have had trauma and their worthiness is really reduced. And yeah, they drop the intellectual part of the red flags because their heart is broken, or, and they're in a lot of pieces. So they're just grabbing a little bit, even though they know, oh, really, they had the giant red flag, but they give me this. Mm-hmm. And so I like how you separate it into a test or the real thing, because then you can just really say, is this a test? Is this, am I feeling all, is this all, am I agreeing with all of this? And it gives you the accountability, right? To say, yeah, if you accept it, then you accept it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and if you don't, then you need to know you don't, and you need to quietly.
Yeah.
Right? And so I like having that information, because again, when you're traumatized, mm-hmm, you forget it, you lose your worthiness, and you need to be reminded that don't, yeah, accept anything that isn't the life you prefer.
And I know it can be difficult. I mean, this is a situation I had to deal with myself in my early 20s, where people can gaslight you, they can manipulate you, they can groom you, they can tell you that you're worthless or the best thing for you. And you believe that because they're either all you've ever known, or they're all you've ever been able to give a chance to, because you've blocked everybody else out of your life. I know it can be difficult when you come from trauma and you're trying again to love yourself, to let somebody else in. You can be like, are they going to be what I experienced before, but just a different, you know, a different person, but same exact qualities? That can be so hard. I know. But what happened for me and what worked for me, I told myself once again, once I loved myself wholly again, first, I said, I'm not going to let somebody else affect how I love someone else, because I'm going to give someone else my all regardless, because that's what they deserve, because I deserve to be loved that way. It isn't fair for me to love someone half-heartedly and they give me their all and they don't experience the joy and the gift that I have of them experiencing all of my love, right? It isn't fair to them. And when we don't do that, when we allow ourselves to not give someone our all, the other person, they have power over us. They still have that power because they have control over how we're reacting to the next relationship. So again, I know it can be difficult, but once we open ourselves up again to love and we know that we will and will not tolerate, we then are going to attract a higher quality person, because we're no longer dealing with low level people. We're now up leveling our lives to attract more people who are on the same level as us. And that is how we bring in the amazing partner, because we now know we deserve this amazing partner with no tricks, no strings attached. They are exactly who've been waiting for us on the other side of that fear, that trauma, that pain. They're there. Your perfect partner is there. They're waiting for you to meet them. That's all that it is.
Absolutely. Such great messages, because especially people that are very sensitive or empathic, they feel mm-hmm. the need that they have to be nice to people, even if they're not, people aren't good to them back. Like they give them all these excuses, you know, well, they're this, or they've been through that, so it's okay that they treat me like, you know, and then they're miserable and they take it on. And you have a chapter in here, which I really loved, which is life isn't hard. People make it that way. And that's a, like, kind of a hard lesson to hear, but it's true. You know, we can make it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. We can. Yeah. And I just feel like most of us have been told the stories of how other people live their life based on their experiences. So we then take it that, well, if they had to work 30 years in a job because that's what their parents did, then that's what I have to do to become successful. Even though I don't want to do that, they say that if I don't go that route, my life will be hard if I don't do that, right? There's all these limiting beliefs from our peers, our caretakers, our parents, our friends, the media that tell us one thing. And we feel as if we go the other way, it's going to be really, really difficult for us. And that's complete crap. You have to go out there and live your life and experience what you want to experience. You can't let anyone else's warnings or their advice deter you from living your most joyous and amazing life. I had someone told me one day, and this person, they worked a full-time job and they had a part-time side gig. And they had been doing this for years. This is what they've always done. But they always were just right above broke. They weren't able to get what they wanted. They were always unhappy, always complaining, never in a situation where they were careful or helpful for someone else, just always in a negative situation. And they told me one day, you'll never, ever be successful in a full-time business because it's not possible for anybody to do that. And I just thought to myself, this is a limiting belief. Just because this person may have experience, that doesn't mean that that's my fate or that's my life. And we can't take on other people's experiences as our own because they're not yours. And what I say to people, especially clients, is that if someone has told you something and you're taking that as your truth, I say, ask yourself, is this mine? Does this belong to me? And 9 times out of 10, it is not your trauma. It's not your drama. It's not your trauma. It doesn't belong to you. You have to stop letting other people make things hard for you because they experienced something that they feel that you should too. Well, if they had something that happened to them that was really bad, you should too. That's not your life. You can't do that. So people will always say something is 10,000 times harder than what it actually is because they may have failed at something. They think that you should too. But the thing is, failure is just a lesson that tells us, well, this way didn't work out. Let's try something else. And unless you stop, you're never going to be a failure until you say so. Only you can determine that, right? So I want people to know that there are people out there who they live to make people miserable. That's what they thrive on. They thrive on people being sad and unhappy because they are. And misery, it loves company, unfortunately. So if you want to rise above that, you have to question yourself, well, is this mine? Is this thought mine? Does this belong to me? This doesn't belong to me. And just throw it away because it's not yours. And I think that when people realize that they have to rise above their low thoughts and come to a place where they actually can feel grateful for where they are right now and then build off of that just a little bit at a time, you'll become a much happier, healthier, amazing person because you now know what you're worthy of and what you're not worthy of. And you will no longer accept other people's experiences or ill advice as your own. So that would be what I would definitely say, because too many of us are falling victim to letting other people dictate how we should live our lives or not.
You have such a great way with words. And I love how you are saying very difficult things in a way that's very empowering. And I just want to kind of let you know that that's coming across. And I think it's absolutely important because it's not coming off as shade is or anything like that. Coming off as just kind of in almost fact. It's like we all can unsee that is what happens. And when you can get to the truth faster, the way that you speak, you I just see you're very efficient. I read energy. You can get to the problem and get to the end of it really fast. And we need that more for people because they are suffering now.
Yeah.
And they need to get to this better place soon, you know? And so I, you know, and your book is amazingly written. It is a great piece to be by your bed for the next couple months if you really want to go on this journey and turn it around. And you have another chapter here called Dancing with the Universe that I really love. And I'm just getting chills all over because it's a very enlightened book. You're a very enlightened person, but I love that you, the way that you get to the end really easily, because that's the way we need, we don't need all the fluff anymore. We don't know if you need to have millions of conversations about getting us stuck in the stories anymore, you know, playing that record player of the, and yes, we have things we have to work on.
So yeah.
That's the list of stuff that say, hey, I know I have this thing. I have a list of core wounds that I work on that I know is a core wound. And when I go, I feel really weird and triggered, and I go, oh, that's that wound. Okay. Go and have a quiet moment and go and do my whatever medicines I needed to get away from that.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to validate you for the way that you are educating people and bringing them up, because it's needed. And this book is actually really easy to read, but really well written. And we just, you know, somebody who wants to get through this and make a change now, I think they can do it with your book. They don't need to have 500 books. Go down, you know, go ahead and pick out the next one that you use. But this is a really good for people that want change right away. And in different areas of your life, because you also talk about money, which a lot of people don't talk about energy. So let's kind of wrap up with a little final word, kind of about, I know we talked a little bit about the energy and money, but manifestation, but what else, because that's such a big, painful part of topic. I'd love to see if you have any more wisdom you can share on that.
Yeah. Well, first, thank you, Gina. That means a lot to me. Thank you. I'm so happy that you enjoyed my book. I mean, you don't know, right? You're like, I'm just going to put out what I know, and I want to help at least one person. So I appreciate that. Yeah, I resonate with that. But when it comes to money, money is such a big topic because I grew up in a sense where money isn't abundant, right? And I grew up in a neighborhood that wasn't safe. It was a place where I wanted to get out of. So my whole life from when I was a teenager until I was 18 was to get out of the neighborhood, get out. You have to get out of here. And my mind was surrounded by, I need money. I need money to get out of where I'm living because I can't do this anymore. So at that time, and this is for many people, when we're in a drought, when we are in a position where money is scarce because we've either lost an income or something happened, we're transitioning careers, we're leaving a job, or something happened to us where a money source is no longer there, that is the universe telling you to level up. Something needs to change, right? You need to change. You're worthy of more. So I'm going to take something away from you to let you know that you need to be able to cultivate and call in more because you deserve more, right? So when this happens to us, a lot of us become scared. We're like, oh my God, what do I do? You know, I have to do this. I got to do that. I have things to take care of. What's going to happen? And we think about all the bills we have to pay, money we don't have. We think about all the things that are keeping us stuck, right? The negative part of us, because we're kind of like in fight or flight mode at this point. We're trying to figure out, what do? We need help. But the universe wants you to switch gears. The universe is like, I'm going to always provide for you, but you have to trust in that. And because we can't see it, it's scary because we're like, well, I can't see that happening right now. I'm right here. I can't see the future. So I don't know if I can trust you to bring me what I want because I can't see it. When that happens, we go back into, I got to pay bills. I got to do this. I got to do that. We become scared because we're like, how do I make this money? I have a mortgage due. I have to do, pay for this and pay for that. I need it right now. And when we think about all of the stuff we have, it raises our stress levels, our cortisol levels go up because we're always surrounding our thoughts with low level energy. When we think about how abundant we have or what we need to do to get to the next level, and we come at it with a place of ease and love and flow and peace, things will come to us easily and effortlessly. Money is energy. And what I mean by that is the universe, the world that we live in, is made up of energy. And what that means is how we operate in this world is that what we put out, get back in. If we have a negative attitude, if we have low thoughts, we're only going to attract more of that. That's why poor people stay poor, because they think about, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. And it continues to loop in their lives the same old thing day after day, year after year, because they're not changing the way that they think. And the people who get out of that, they're the ones who change the way that they think. If they lose a job, like, okay, I lost it. No big deal. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to collect unemployment so I can get something else. I'm going to apply for a better career. I'm going to get certified. I'm going to start a business. They will do things that will help them to continue to grow. That's how you up-level your life. When you do that, the universe is saying, okay, you're trying to get out of that situation. I'm going to bring you what you are meant to have. You're going to have more now because you are up-leveling your way of thinking to one of abundance. When we raise our thought patterns, we then are channeling in money at that level that we're operating on. When we have low negative thoughts, we're only going to tell the universe, hey, I don't want any money. I want more bills, more negative experiences. I want to have this. And that's what happens. And again, that's why poor people stay poor, because they don't know how to change their way of thinking. That is why we have a terrible population of people who will continue to collect government benefits, because they don't know how to get out of that mindset. They're complacent, they're comfortable, or they don't know how to. Those of us who want to get out of that, we will then propel ourselves to think in other ways that will allow us to grow. The other things that the universe, once you're trying to up-level your life, the universe will send you synchronicities, opportunities, people that will help you to overcome your situation. But again, we have to be open and receptive and trust the universe will always have our back and look out for us. It's difficult because, again, you can't see the future or what's happening for you. So, again, you stay stuck. And you say, well, I can see tomorrow. I know I'm going to be able to do this and that. I'm going to stay complacent because you don't trust that the universe has your back. When you trust that it does, that's when things begin to work out for you. Ideas come to you from seemingly nowhere, a walk in the park, a shower, reading a book, because you then are telling the universe, I need help. You know that I need to get out of my situation. And the universe basically tells you, I got you. Don't worry. You'll be okay. So that is how it works. Exactly. It works every single time. When you trust the universe that it will provide for you, it does. When you do not worry or stress or have low-level thoughts, even in times where you're like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, the universe still has your back. When you trust the universe, so you know what? I know you got me. I'm going to still put the work in, but I know that something's better is going to come for me. And that's when everything works out for you.
So, and then with that awareness, you can kind of start to eye other people that are bringing you down. Because I had a girlfriend who was very wealthy. And when I really got to know her, I figured out that she understand the psychology of someone who's stuck in that mentality. And she needed a lot of low-level workers. Mm-hmm. And I wanted her do this, and I had never really seen it before, but gaslight and pull in people that didn't believe in themselves, because she really wanted that one person that was going to stay at a low level for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So knowing that in their psychology, they probably would never think. And she purposely did that. And it was almost like a gaslight, like, you're so lucky you got this job. So when you get to the techniques that you're talking about, you can kind of push that out, because that can really get in and like take a knife into you. And you really start to believe that this person who comes from a lot of money and is very like, they must know something you don't know, you know what I mean? And you can like you saying, take it on. And you know, so I appreciate all of that. Thank you so much.
Of course, Gina.
So yeah. Thanks for best of luck with the book. We hope it does really well. Untapped Magic, and it's out now on Amazon and all the other places, out by New World Library. Thank you, New World Library. Thanks for putting out great books and bringing great authors to us. And we wish you so much wellness in your journey. And thank you to everybody who likes, shares, subscribes, and supports the channel. It really helps us get these messages out to the people that need it. And we appreciate it. And theliberatedhealer.com and on Instagram and everywhere else you can find us. So I'm Gina Cavalier. I'm your host. And thank you for your time today. Let us know if you have any questions or needs. And we'll link everything below for you to find everything about the book. And even I'll try to find that YouTube link that we mentioned. And we wishing you so much well, abundant success. Go get it. Cheers. Thank you, Chloe.
Thank you, Gina. I appreciate it. This was great.
I appreciate it. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, you can find us online at theliberatedhealer.com, on Instagram at Liberated Healer Podcast, or on Facebook at The Liberated Healer. Give us a follow, subscribe, send us a message if you so feel, and thank you for your support. Podcast.